collaboration,
innovation,
the next idea.
The world doesn't stop. The world continues to change. So we as people need to change along with it.
Businesses and entrepreneurs of Michigan, what are you willing to give up in order to make room for innovation? To stop looking back to the way you've always done things and look ahead to new solutions, new ideas. That challenge is coming from our partner in the next idea, Ross School of Business professor Jeff DeGraff. Jeff, what is it that you see as this push and pull, the forces that make it hard for a business to make room for innovation?
Well, the first challenge is what businesses mostly try and do is maintain their equilibrium. And they do that by trying to create efficiencies. And efficiencies are created by eliminating variation. They try and get rid of things that are not optimized. But of course, innovation is about creating these points of deviation, these points of diversity. It's about creating variation. So one of the big challenges is that mature companies keep running in a particular way, and they become optimized, and they become very large in this particular way, but there are always these inflection moments where they have to reinvent themselves. And at these inflection moments, they need to have the ability to diversify.
And as you point out so well, you got to clear some stuff out to make room for the new.
Well, think about your own life. It's no different for a company. I mean, I'm on airplanes all the time, and it's very funny to me. Someone will say, you know, oh, I read one of your books, Jeff. I'm going to write a book someday. And I'll say, that's a great idea. What are you doing to write that book? And they'll say, well, you know, I'm planning to do that when I retire. Or they have some sort of future that their life is going to be somehow easier or have more gaps in the future. And the point I always make to them is, well, you know, if you really want to write a book, what you really need to do is stop doing something now so you have time, headspace, you have some soak time for this, and you have the resources to do that. The same with companies.
Now, you say in your essay for the next idea that the very worst of all innovation strategies is to have a growing share of a shrinking market.
Yeah, think about this for a minute. If you think about whether it was, whether it was your pager or whether it was a fax machine or whatever it is, whoever is the best player in that market is the last person in the market. For example, there's a wonderful saddle company in Connecticut called the Worthington Saddle Company. They make these wonderful saddles. But at their heyday, they made about 3 to 4 million of them. They make less than 2,000 of them today. So even though they're still the best saddle maker, there's really no need for millions of saddles. Right? Mm. So the notion is, if you really want to grow the company in the future, you have to stop some of the things you're doing right now and at least speculate or run experiments about alternatives.
So let's talk about steps that you think businesses should take in order to break out of that way it's always worked for us and become forward thinking. You talk about change some of the guard.
Yeah, I have a great story around this. I worked on a project for NBC a number of years ago for local media, and the people who were on this project were very famous broadcasters. And one of the things that came very clear to me was that they were probably not the right people to see what was going to happen after broadcast television. So we brought a bunch of very young people, not so much to displace the famous broadcasters, but to maybe give them a different point of view. And what came out of these experiments was Hulu. And what was interesting to me about this was, had we left these very experienced broadcasters alone, they would have never seen that people were not just going to watch television in a broadcast mode. They were going to watch it on their computers. They were going to time shift. They were going to want some plasticity to what they were doing. So you have to put some different people into that game.
So how do we train these young faces, these young professionals in Michigan to be leaders on these kind of advisory boards that you talk about?
Well, I think the first thing is it's not so much that we have to train them as we have to make room for them. We have a lot of mature industries that are very optimized. Think about, you know, what's gone on recently with General Motors is a great example. If you think about all the problems that General Motors are having, they're coming from very few things that have been optimized and show up on sort of a number of product lines, right? So imagine now we would have allowed some variation in there. Imagine that we would have allowed that maybe some different ways of making ignition switches work, et cetera, was integrated into that process. And imagine that some of that was brought in by listening to people who maybe weren't as experienced, who maybe were a little more novice or nascent and had a slightly different point of view because they lacked the experience. So I'm not sure it's so much about we have to train young people as we have to make spaces for them.
And you say leave room for the new.
Yeah, I think one of the things that always amazes me, I trained consultants at the most prestigious consulting firm in America for a number of years, and in New York City. And what always struck me about this was really brilliant people believe that they have the answer and that no one else does, that when they would come in, that you're just not quite as bright as they are. And of course, this is completely untrue, and it's a terrible fallacy we have to get people out of. So one of the things that was interesting is they would always have this implement arrow. And the implement arrow would assume that anything that you did from the time that the presentation was made, let's say for the next 4 or 5 years, everything was going to stay continuous. But of course, it doesn't. So what you need to do is you need to set smaller goals and think of it like climbing mountains. You know, you're not going to see the summit. You have to get to a lot of precipices. You have to kind of climb a lot of smaller hills to get a better vantage point. And the same is true for innovation. You have to work on some things and understand what you really can see at any given point and what you really can't, and be honest with yourself about that.
All right. I have to be honest in especially having emerged from the cauldron of the Great Recession, companies going under, companies barely surviving, trying to get back at it. What company has the time and the money to do that?
Well, it's interesting. I'd put it the other way. I'd say what companies don't have the time and money to do this. I would say what's been interesting about the Great Recession is they often refer to these as W recessions. And why they're called W recessions is they go up and down. So it's not just one straight line. It's kind of a jagged line. And one of the things that happens in recessions is people have two basic strategies that they can take. The first strategy is that they do a lot of cutting. And the first thing they cut is the future. They cut their R&D budgets. They cut their new marketing budgets. And what happens is they survive through the first part of the recession. But when the economy bounces back, they don't have anything that's going to grow the business. They don't have anything to take them forward. And it's part of the W is now they're going to fail, but they're going to fail much later. The other thing that companies do when recessions come is this is their time to try something new. So I want to give you a great example,
yeah.
And it has to do with jobs. One of the things that companies did was there was a lot of software that made a lot of jobs obsolete, you know. And what happens is when a recession comes, all of a sudden it's an optimal time to try these different kinds of low-cost solutions to see if, in fact, this technology can take the company forward. And in fact, a lot of those jobs that were not required jobs, but were inconvenient and would have required sort of a rebuilding of the company, these are perfect times to do this. And these companies have recovered nicely. Now, the new challenge is those jobs don't come back in the old way. They have to then move on to new types of jobs. So think about your own profession for a minute. Mm-hmm. Think about like broadcasting. There used to be a lot of camera people and a lot of people in the sound booth. A lot of this is now done with a computer and technology and maybe one person, right? We can do a lot of podcasting that way. Well, hopefully all those people who operated cameras and did all that kind of work have another role now, a new role, a higher value role that moves you forward.
And in your essay, you worry aloud about our auto industry, that you don't see the auto industry, domestic auto industry, learning those lessons.
I don't. And in fact, doesn't it seem ironic that Tesla, this incredible innovation company, really hasn't invented a lot of technology? Mm-hmm. I mean, what's unique about it is the design factor, the business model of how they're going forward, how they're funding the battery technology with venture capital and with what's going on in Korea. But to me, what strikes me as odd is why didn't that happen in Detroit? These were all things available to people in all the big three. And the reason is that's a departure from the standard way of doing things. That's listening to a different group of people. That's encompassing and embracing a diversity. And what to me seems ironic about this, this happens in all industries, not just the auto industry. Think about for a minute, Apple comes in, you know, it's almost dead in 1997. Mm-hmm. It's trading below $5 a share. So they come back and it's not that they're creating radical different technologies. What they're doing is they're combining them with design in radically different ways. And what happens is these mature players who are so optimized can't make the turn.
You need the mix. And how do we get more Michigan companies to really see the value in making room for all of this?
Culture It's a cultural issue. And it's a real challenge. You know, for years I taught a mergers and acquisitions class here at Michigan. And one of the first things you do when you acquire an underperforming firm is you clean house. And the reason is culture is contained in leadership and it's contained in how you work. I worked on another project that maybe some of your listeners know called EcoImagination at General Electric. And part of that project was really to combine the company in a very different way on a daily basis of how the company would work. Now, I hope I'm not coming across as saying you should fire your executive team. That's not what I'm saying. But if leaders refuse to lead in a different way, the notion is there will never be room for a diverse or different set of ideas. And if the company refuses to work in different ways, there won't be. This is one of the wonderful things that Xers and millennials can bring to the workplace. It doesn't mean you have to give all the seats to them, but you got to give some seats to them to keep yourself fresh.
Jeff DeGraff's professor at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business, and of course, our partner in The Next Idea. You will find his essay on ways to make room for innovation at the Next Idea page at michiganradio.org. Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank you, Cynthia.